Heard Villanueva's car pull up at the front of the building. I could hear the beat of the engine coming through the metal. I heard his door open and close. He left the engine running. I heard his feet on the front walkway. "Stand by," I said. I felt Duffy move behind me, heard Villanueva knocking loudly on the front door. I stabbed the tire iron end-on into the siding next to one of the screws, made a shallow dent in the metal, shoved the iron sideways into it and under the bars, and hauled on it. The screw held. Clearly, it went through the siding all the way into the steel framing, so I reseated the iron and jerked harder, once, twice. The screw head broke off, and the bars moved a little. I had to break 6 screw heads in total. Took me nearly 30 seconds. Villanueva was still knocking. Nobody was answering. When the 6th screw broke, I grabbed the bars themselves and hauled them open 90 degrees like a door. The 2 remaining screws screeched in protest. I picked up the tire iron again and smashed the pebbled glass, reached in with my hand and found the catch and pulled the window open, took out the Beretta and went headfirst into the bathroom. It was a small cubicle, maybe 6x4. There was a toilet and a sink with a small frameless mirror, a trash can and a shelf with spare toilet rolls and paper towels on it, a bucket and a mop propped in a corner, clean linoleum on the floor, a strong smell of disinfectant. I turned around and checked the window. There was a small alarm pad screwed to the sill, but the building was still quiet. No siren. A silent alarm. Now, a phone would be ringing somewhere, or an alert would be flashing on a computer screen. I stepped out of the bathroom into a back hallway. Nobody there. It was dark. I faced front and backed away to the rear door, fumbled behind me without looking, and unlocked it, pulled it open, heard Duffy step inside. She had probably done 6 weeks at Quantico during her basic training, and she still remembered the moves. She held the Glock two-handed and slid past me and took up station by a door that was going to lead out of the hallway into the rest of the building. She leaned her shoulder on the jamb and crooked her elbows to pull the gun up out of my way. I stepped forward and kicked the door and went through it and dodged left, and she spun after me and went to the right. We were in another hallway. It was narrow. It ran the whole length of the building all the way to the front. There were rooms off it, left and right. 6 rooms, 3 on either side. 6 doors, all of them closed. "Front," I whispered. "Villanueva." We crabbed our way along, back to back, covering each door in turn. They stayed closed. We made it to the front door, and I unlocked it and opened it up. Villanueva stepped through and closed it again behind him. He had a Glock 17 in his gnarled old hand. It looked right at home there.
"Alarm," he whispered.
"Silent.
So let's be quick."
Room by room. It wasn't a good feeling. We had made so much noise that nobody in the building could have any doubt we were there, and the fact that they hadn't blundered out to confront us meant they were smart enough to sit tight with their hammers back and their sights trained chest high at the inside of their doors, and the center hallway was only about 3 feet wide. It didn't give us much room to maneuver. Not a good feeling. The doors were all hinged on the left, so I put Duffy on my left, facing out to cover the doors opposite. I didn't want us all facing the same way. I didn't want to get shot in the back. Then I put Villanueva on my right. His job was to kick in the doors, one by one. I took the center. My job was to go in first, room by room. We started with the front room on the left. Villanueva kicked the door hard. The lock broke, and the frame splintered, and the door crashed open. I went straight in. The room was empty. It was a 10x10 square with a window and a desk and a wall of file cabinets. I came straight out, and we all spun around and hit the room opposite, immediately. Duffy covered our backs, and Villanueva kicked the door, and I went in. It was empty, too. But it was a bonus. The partition wall between it and the next room had been removed. It was 10x20. It had 2 doors to the hallway. There were 3 desks in the room. There were computers and phones. There was a coat rack in the corner with a woman's raincoat hanging on it. We crossed the hallway to the 4th door, the 3rd room. Villanueva kicked the door, and I rolled around the jamb. Empty. Another 10x10 square. No window. A desk with a big cork notice board behind it. Lists pinned to the cork. an oriental carpet covering most of the linoleum. Four down, two to go. We chose the back room on the right. Villanueva hit the door, I went in. It was empty. 10 by 10, white paint, gray linoleum, completely bare, nothing in it at all, except bloodstains. They had been cleaned up, but not well. There were brown swirls on the floor, where an overloaded mop had pushed them around. There was splatter on the walls. Some of it had been wiped. Some of it had been missed altogether. There were lacy trails up to waist height. The angles between the baseboards and the linoleum were rimed with brown and black. "The maid," I said. Nobody replied. We stood still for a long, silent moment. Then we backed out and turned around and hit the last door, hard. I went in gun first and stopped dead. It was a prison, and it was empty. It was 10 by 10. It had white walls and a low ceiling. No windows. Gray linoleum on the floor. A mattress on the linoleum. Wrinkled sheets on the mattress. Dozens of Chinese food cartons all over the place. Empty plastic bottles that had held spring water.
"She was here," Duffy said.
I nodded. "Just like in the basement up at the house." I stepped all the way inside and lifted up the mattress. The word "justice" was smeared on the floor, big and obvious, painted with a finger. Underneath it was today's date, 6 numbers, month, day, year, fading and then strengthening as she had reloaded her fingertip with something black and brown.
"She's hoping we'll track her," Villanueva said. "Day by day, place by place. Smart kid."
"Is that written in blood?" Duffy said.
I could smell stale food and stale breath all through the room. I could smell fear and desperation. She had heard the maid die. 2 thin doors wouldn't have blocked much sound.
"Hoisin sauce," I said. "I hope."
"How long since they moved her?"
I looked inside the closest cartons. 2 hours, maybe.
"Shit.
So let's go. Let's go find her."
5 minutes, Duffy said. "I need to get something I can give to ATF to make this whole thing right."
"We haven't got 5 minutes."
2 minutes, I said. "Grab what you can and look at it later." We backed out of the cell. Nobody looked at the charnel house opposite. Duffy led us back to the room with the oriental carpet. Smart choice, I thought. It was probably Quinn's office. He was the kind of guy who would give himself a rug. She took a thick file marked pending from a desk drawer and pulled all the lists off the corkboard.
"Let's go," Villanueva said again.
We came out through the front door exactly 4 minutes after I had gone in through the bathroom window. It felt more like 4 hours. We piled into the gray Taurus and were back on Route 1 a minute after that.
"Stay north," I said. "Head for the city center."